This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. This is Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE, and I'm here at the Coalition for Networked Information Spring 2012 meeting. I'm joined in conversation today with Jennifer Schopp, Program Officer at the National Science Foundation. Jennifer, you're working on a project called EarthCube. Could you explain what that is?
The EarthCube program is a novel approach to a fundamental geoscience question. Can we model the Earth from the center of the Earth to the edge of the sun? So crossing across all of geosciences with an emphasis on cyber infrastructure and what was termed initially as knowledge management. So beyond just data management, beyond just moving files, really understanding how do you create a culture of data sharing, a culture of sharing, and a community to solve this really extensive cross-cutting problem. It is an interesting new program because it's grown out of a directorate within the National Science Foundation pushing a cyber infrastructure effort within the larger Cyber Infrastructure for 21st Century initiative, which is across NSF, large scale, millions and millions of dollars. But part of CIF-21 is not to have cyber infrastructure pushed by the Office of Cyber Infrastructure, but to have it in support of science problems. And so EarthCube was started in part as a really important science need with a community that they expected was ready to kind of embrace this with support of cyber infrastructure. So we're crossing fields within geosciences. We're crossing into cyber infrastructure folks and computer science folks and library folks. And even in the hiring, I mean, I'm a cyber infrastructure guy by training, but I'm located in the front office of the Geoscience Directorate, and GEO is the group that I speak on behalf of for this project. So it's really looking at a crossover in an interesting way.
EarthCube is working in the area of data-intensive geosciences. So what does it mean to create an environment for both researchers and educators? What kind of environment are you creating?
This is a really great question, and it's something that we're still trying to discover. EarthCube is a new style of NSF project. It's community-driven. It's about collaboration, not competition. It's about growing a community to solve a problem that's bigger than most researchers are used to thinking about. So at this stage, this end result of building an Earth systems model from the center of the Earth to the end of the sun is still about at least five, if it's a 10-year project. So it's a ways off. We are building educational aspects into it from the beginning. We're trying to do community building and making sure that we especially reach out to early career scientists and postdocs to understand how these different aspects can join together. One of the main aspects we're doing right now is a lot of community reconnaissance. We're doing requirements gathering in person, online, through a number of surveys. We're trying to avoid solutions looking for problems and try to really do something that's new and creative and innovative.
I understand that the goal of EarthCube is to, quote, create a knowledge management system and infrastructure that integrates all geosciences data in an open, transparent, and inclusive manner. That sounds like a daunting challenge. What are some of the key areas in which the community will work?
It really is a huge challenge. We're the first to admit that we don't know the path to our end goal. We like to say that, you know, we're starting down a path and we may fail. There's a lot of stuff going on in this space. There's a lot of work that's going on. Obviously, the data issues are in the forefront. Discovery, provenance, the full data lifecycle management, you know, semantics and ontologies, these are all into themselves extremely complex problems, and we're trying to look at them across a huge scientific space of geosciences, used to being siloed. So, you know, the Earth systems folks have tools that work really well for them. The oceanographers have their own tools. How do we do that cross between them? One of the fascinating things that's come out of this project is that the difference between data and workflows is diminishing, for example. When you look at discovering data, people also want to discover workflows. The difference between a workflow or a system of analytics that have been done on a piece of data and the data provenance, that line gets really fuzzy. we're looking at an overall governance structure for the project. There are models for everything from a benevolent dictator to rough consensus and running code all the way down to a completely democratic approach. We're not really sure what the right way is. We're exploring a lot of different methodologies right now. One of the ways we're trying to understand how to go forward on this is we've defined a number of capabilities and actually have a prioritization survey that's out there for people to go through, identify what their role is in their current project, and to say which of these aspects are most important to them so we know where to spend our time first.
I understand that there can be a lot of variation in scientific disciplines as to whether researchers will willingly share data with others. Do researchers in geosciences have a culture of sharing data?
So the data sharing culture in the geosciences is actually a lot stronger than some other fields. One of the challenges that we've seen at the National Science Foundation is that there are so many different cultures across the groups that we fund. So, for example, NSF does not define what data is. What data means to an engineer is very different than what it means to a high-energy physicist. However, within geosciences and the Office of Polar Programs, they were really early endorsers of data management plans and requiring their scientists to share their data within a very limited period of time and making sure that it's open and available and funding archives to do this. So that background was one of the reasons it was felt that this was the right time for EarthCube to move forward and the right time to have a geosciences-focused project as one of the keystones for this new cyber infrastructure for 21st century effort, which is across NSF. Even with that background, we've actually been surprised at how open people have been. We have asked for white papers to be made open to the public before our first meeting in November of 2011, and 115 were submitted, just great ideas that by default were open to anyone to read, to use, to take those ideas and run with them. We've gone forward with some small amounts of funding, the first step of which was submitting a two-page expression of interest for funding a project. We asked people who submitted them, would you be willing to make these public? Over 90% of the ones that were submitted are now up on the website with their permission, which is just, it was unheard of. I was hoping that we'd get maybe 50%, and it's really gone beyond our expectations. We still have issues that are arising. There are some knee-jerk reactions, of course, to, oh, well, but this is mine, or someone will scoop me. But we're really trying to create a community. The other issue that we're running into is, as we have our own data, sure, it's all out there, but it's really hard to find. It's really hard to discover. So we're still pushing on those issues. I think geosciences, though, really are pushing this culture of data sharing and trying to be more inclusive, in part because their science requires it.
So what kinds of new skills will students and future professionals need to succeed in the data-rich geosciences environment?
So that's a really great question because a lot of people are doing planning, 10, 20, 30 years out. I was part of an effort looking at an Ocean Sciences 2020 report, and the analogy that we were making there was just as today's oceanographers never took formal statistics courses, you could never get an oceanography degree today without having statistics. That's required in order to do your basic data analysis and your science. You know, all of these guys use R or other MATLAB and other stats tools, which 20 years ago they didn't. We need to really start having a better understanding of how to treat our data and teaching students basic fundamentals of gathering it, archiving it, provenance for data, metadata, from the beginning. The data is going to stay around a lot longer. I make these same arguments for software, though. The number of scientists who are building software without any formal training is growing. The same with data. It stays around longer than you think. It gets archived. It gets used in ways you don't expect. So I think we really need to come up with some better coursework, and that's actually Cyber Infrastructure Framework for 21st Century is actually funding work to try to discover that a bit better, and we'll be leveraging that quite a bit.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Jennifer. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.